This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
Does your community need help measuring the heart of your religious education? Are you wondering if your community provides a sense of belonging for members? NCEA Rise is a family of comprehensive assessments designed to measure what your community knows and feels about the faith, but it doesn't stop there. Results can be used for instructional planning, professional development, community engagement, and more. NCEA provides meaningful network and resource support for its members. Find out more at NCEA Rise at www.ncearise.org.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Real and True Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Edmund Mitchell.
And I'm Emily Mintock, your other co-host.
And we're really excited today. Do not go to another episode because we are talking about the Beatitudes and we're talking about, just practical ways to apply these to catechesis and evangelization and just our experience with this is a little bit of a different episode. Instead of having a guest on, we're going to be talking about, you know, our own experience interacting with the content and the Beatitudes and also the things we've been learning and ways that we can apply this in ministry. So Emily, I'm really excited for this episode because I feel like obviously we're interacting with this content and it's having an effect on us. And also, you know, we're faithful Catholics and we're trying to live a life in Christ. But there are times where certain units in particular are challenging in a good way, I think. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's right. I can think back on multiple times in the past several years of working on this project where there's something that I've encountered in a new study of the catechism that we do to prepare for writing the scripts and animating the videos and prepping our podcast run of shows, that there's something that has I've sort of seen in a new way, especially mm-hmm. and that has changed my understanding of the faith that then goes and impacts how I live my own personal life. And I know that that's happening for people who watch the videos too, because of the comments that we get on YouTube or on Instagram or things like that. But this unit that we're in, the Beatitudes, was one of those where when I was working through this unit, I realized that I had completely misunderstood what the Beatitudes were. And not necessarily because I was taught incorrectly, but I just never understood really how important and how central to Jesus' teaching the Beatitudes are. So I just wasn't properly placing them and where they should be in terms of in my life in pursuit of holiness and pursuit of trying to live like Christ, because I didn't understand really what they meant for us as Christians and as followers of Christ.
Same. Yeah, same. And I think, you know, I remember hearing Dr. Peter Kreef talk about, you know, it's in Lectio Divina in scripture, but it also applies here in the catechism. You know, when you're hunting, you don't just stay on the well-worn paths or the areas that you go to a lot. It can be easy to just go to the church teachings or the parts of scripture where it's like, oh, I love these parts. These are easy for me to understand. He talks about you gotta go to the bushes you haven't explored yet, to the areas of the forest that are more difficult. And when we come across parts in the catechism that it's like, I don't know about this, that actually might be a good sign to dive deeper. And I have the same experience with this, with the Beatitudes. I remember when we first started talking about these scripts and ideas, I was like, to be honest, Emily, like, I just have glossed over the Beatitudes. Like, they just seem like a list that's kind of, I mean, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm like, okay. Or blessed are those who mourn. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I'll keep that in mind. But then I just kind of forget about it. And I wonder if you feel this, that other, if I think this is true, that other people might have that same experience, even people that are in the church, who their job or their ministry is to teach the faith. I've had that experience. A lot of us are just like, yeah, the Beatitudes are great. And then we move on. But the catechism says it's central to Jesus's preaching.
Right. I think one thing that I personally misunderstood about the Beatitudes is that I thought that they were sort of just like a message of hope and, you know, good faith for those who sort of like experience those things, like experience grief or experience persecution or experience injustice, that like they were meant to just be like an offer of hope. Like if these things happen to you, then don't worry, in heaven, you'll be rewarded. But that's not at all what it is. It's actually a call. The Beatitudes are a call to all of us. They are the invitation to, in our pursuit, to live like Christ. They are totally different than the commandments, because they are actually what take us to living like God, seeing like God, and modeling Christ's example, and not something that you just are sort of receive passively. It's the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the, so the catechism is this, over and over again throughout the whole catechism, it's this, in a way, it's this book of blessings. It's God's plan is this plan of blessing, from blessing to blessing. The very first paragraph is God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely creates man to share in his blessing. And then beatitude, this word that means blessing, this divine blessing that we're going to receive. And I love how in this unit, we're talking about the commandments. And I love how you shared, we had had a phone call where we were talking through some of this stuff, and we were talking like, how do we make this different than the commandments? And you were talking, maybe you could just share like that kind of realization we both had of like, yeah, the commandments are this way, but the Beatitudes are this way.
Yeah. So one thing that we, you know, learned in our unit on the commandments is that the commandments are an expression of natural law. One of the reasons why we can, you know, cherish them as a gift from God is because he just takes something that we all could use our reason to come to understand, but because we're human and we have a tendency for confusion or could be misinformed, we're just fallen. And that's true for all of us. God gave us the gift of being very clear. This is what not to do. This is not what I mean when I say like to follow me and to live in the way that I created you to live. But the Beatitudes are not natural law. They are, you know, really more divine. They come from Jesus, and they are an invitation to see things not in our human way, not in natural law, not in any way that our human minds could comprehend without God revealing it to us. They require grace, because this is God's way of happiness. And it actually is an invitation to happiness. So I think the other big misconception that people have, and especially if you sort of like relate the commandments and the Beatitudes, is thinking that they kind of are also wrapped up in a morality and a list of do's and don'ts and how just to be good. But it's not about pursuing just good, but it's actually about pursuing God's happiness and God's vision for the world.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about how like, the commandments, you could kind of understand, okay, I want to be happy. God is going to have this plan for me to help me be happy and be good. And so if I don't murder and I don't steal and I don't lie and I don't commit adultery, I'll be happy. But then you hear Jesus say, no, but blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be happy. And you're like, some of these things are very counterintuitive. Like, blessed are the pure in heart. Okay, I get that. But like, blessed are those who are persecuted. You're like, what? Like, and this idea that Jesus presents a way of happiness that's counterintuitive at first, like for me, it was like, okay, well, I mean, I'll, like you said, like if I'm ever in that situation, I'll remember this and remember that I'm blessed. But it's actually the fact that it's counterintuitive, like you're saying, that implies it, like we need grace to live this out. It should be not that it should be confusing, but it should be like kind of confront us with this kind of like, what, like, how do we live this out? And I hope that when people are listening to this podcast and watching the videos, that they're paying attention to, not that we're doing this, not that we're like perfect, but I think we do a really good job of this, of like what we're trying to do is good evangelization, good catechesis, where we're trying to say, how do we present God's divine revelation in a way that makes sense, in a way that draws people in and points them to Jesus and God's plan of loving goodness for them in light of Christ. And so in these videos, in the scripts, we're not always saying it explicitly. Sometimes it's the way we're showing things, the way we're visually telling things that are really important. A lot of thought goes into that. And I hope that people can use that to think about like ways in their own ministry and catechesis and evangelization to be meditating on these things and the good that comes of that, like the fruit that comes of that kind of like creative, prayerful, like how do we present this in the best way? And so I want to move into talking a little bit about the Beatitudes, but start with this conversation we had around the creative direction and like what you did to help the animation team and us like really show this differently and kind of so that people kind of walk away feeling the Beatitudes and not just like knowing it intellectually.
Yeah. One line that really stood out to us when we were preparing for this is paragraph 1726, where the Catechism is telling us, like, what do the Beatitudes do? The Beatitudes teach us the final end to which God calls us, the kingdom, the vision of God, participation in the divine nature, eternal life, filiation, and rest in God. But what really stood out to us there was the vision of God, and that in our pursuit of the Beatitudes, and when we cooperate with the grace that we need to act them out, we are seeing the world as God sees them. So again, in the commandments, it's telling us what not to do, how to avoid evil, because that will certainly make us unhappy. That will not be good for us, not be good for our souls, not be good for the world. But if we actually want to bring God into this world or see the world as God does or live as Christ lived, then this vision of God that we have been, that has been revealed to us is the Beatitudes. So I'll just explain, in a couple places where we see that in the video. So one, in the proclamation video, we're talking about something that has been shown through research that sometimes the pursuit of happiness can actually make us unhappy, because we're basically, every way we try to pursue happiness in any, by any worldly standard, you're always going to come up short and feel unhappy again, because any happiness that you achieve will either not be lasting or will become your new neutral state. So the visual throughout the video was people sort of like looking in a library, looking for happiness. And at the end, all the library shelves change perspective and you see that they spell out the word happiness, because you have to, the only way you'll actually see happiness and achieve happiness is to change your perspective on what you're looking for. You can't be at the worldly level. And then in our explanation video, which gets more directly into the teachings of the Catechism, we have a vision of like, okay, we have a vision of a mountain, which, you know, we often associate with the Ten Commandments, since Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments and brought them back down. So sort of the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments might be to get to the top of that mountain where we encountered this gift from God. But there's actually even this bigger mountain that is heaven, that is how God sees the world. And that is actually what the Beatitudes offer to us. We think that the commandments might be, you know, clarity of natural law, but the Beatitudes are way beyond that. They are divine vision. They are divine happiness.
Yeah, I love that. I remember another good episode, if you're listening to this and going, okay, how do I dive into this a little bit deeper? It's reminding me of the podcast episode with Dr. Scott Solomon, where he was saying the third pillar, like, this is the life that we're inviting people to. And sometimes we focus so much on evangelization and calling people into a relationship with Jesus, but then people go, but what does that life actually look like? Well, this is the third pillar. This is it. This is what the life looks like. And the life with Christ sometimes can be either counterintuitive or just not exactly what we thought it would be. And I love that idea of like a person kind of in a maze, trying to choose the right directions to go through their life. But then this idea that God is like above and can see the path of happiness. And yes, like, you know, intellectually you're supposed to go right, but to the right looks challenging, or it looks difficult. It looks like a way of mourning or persecution, but God knows the final way to get to happiness, you know? And I love when we had those different conversations in the creative process, and then also the way it turned out. Because like the mountain image is so perfect, because the way it looks on screen, it's like, oh, a mountain's really big and this person's this little tiny thing. And then it just like makes it even smaller. Like God's divine happiness is a even bigger mountain than you could ever like conceive of. And I love the way we did that. Are there any other, for you personally, like as we're diving into the Beatitudes, are there any other things that stood out, or just like certain Beatitudes that were kind of struck you? One of the things I had to do was try to like practice the Beatitudes every
day.
Right,
for your connection video.
Yeah. Which was like, man, it was like harder than normal connection videos, because it like actually required me to actually do something every day. So I would love to share some of those. But were there any to you that personally kind of stand out, or you felt like resonated with you while we were working on this unit?
Yeah, I would say overall the biggest shift was to go from understanding the Beatitudes as sort of like, again, this reward of a passive experience of things happening to you, to realizing, okay, this isn't, I need to actually, what we're actually being called to is seeking this out. I need to pursue this. If I want to pursue divine happiness and eternal life in heaven, then I need to actively try to live these things out. And so one that just sort of stood out to me was, for example, that blessed are the peacemakers. And I just thought, you know, but maybe in the past understanding that that would just mean like, okay, well, you don't start any fights. Again, more of a Ten Commandments way of understanding things of how to just avoid evil. But really pursuit of good is, no, how do I actively try to bring peace? So it's not just about like, oh, okay, well, if you start a fight, then I'm not going to escalate it. It's more of, I actually need to try to bring peace into any conversation, any place that I am, whether it's a work conversation, a relationship conversation, a family conversation, to actually live as Christ did. Jesus didn't just not escalate the problem. He actually would try to bring peace. And for me, again, this shifting into living out the Beatitudes, the call of the Beatitudes is to cooperate with the grace that God gives us to live them out in pursuit of a life with Him. That just has totally changed how I've been approaching them since we started working on this unit.
Does your community need help measuring the heart of your religious education? Are you wondering if your community provides a sense of belonging for members? NCEA Rise is a family of comprehensive assessments designed to measure what your community knows and feels about the faith. But it doesn't stop there. Results can be used for instructional planning, professional development, community engagement, and more. NCEA provides meaningful network and resource support for its members. Find out more at NCEARISE at www.nceARISE.org.
That is what's really powerful about this. I mean, it's almost as if like God and Jesus are real, right? Because it's like, duh, this is powerful and like transformative. But for some reason, growing up Catholic, it's like you know these things, but you don't take the time to really internalize them. And that was my experience as well. When I sat down to think, like, how do I try to live out every beatitude every day, which was the challenge for the video, I had the same realization, which was like, okay, I could, in some ways, I could react to situations. And then there are ways that I need to be proactive, or how could I proactively live these out? And that was the same thing. Like, how do I proactively live out, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake? Like, I could be.
How do you be bolder with your faith, right? Yeah, like exactly. To be persecuted, you have to put yourself out there. And we're not in any way suggesting that you have to like go out and like
buy a ticket to another country
where Christianity is persecuted. You don't have to do that's not what it means. But just in your own life, how do you risk persecution a little bit more?
Yeah. And so first, just awareness of like every day reflecting on the Beatitudes, because the commandments kind of come to mind, you know, and like, it's like, oh, I shouldn't kill someone. I don't really need to have known the commandments for that, or I don't need to memorize them word for word, but the Beatitudes are a lot harder. And so just reflecting on them, it helped me see opportunities and go, oh, that's right. Like I'm trying to blessed are the peacemakers or blessed are those, the meek, right? There was a situation with one of my kids where I got really angry and then that thought came to mind, blessed are the merciful. and so I was like, okay. And I told my son, I was like, I'm really mad, but I want you to experience forgiveness. Like this time you do deserve a punishment, but I want you to experience forgiveness. Like you have a lot of anger too. And I'm going to forgive you for this. And it was just like, it came to mind because I had been reflecting on it.
Another one for me was for blessed are those who mourn. And it, again, my past understanding would have been like, oh, okay, so if you're sad in life, don't worry, you'll be happy in heaven with Jesus one day. But instead, I upon this like more intentional pursuit of an integration of the Beatitudes in my life and trying to be more open to where God might be calling to that, I almost allowed myself to be more to grieve more for things in the world that maybe would make God sad, right? Like you hear about, you know, wars that are going on or suffering here in like in the city that I live in, or as even I saw in the news that a pedestrian was killed by a car. It's just like kind of a random news story, but honestly, that happens everywhere all the time. That the news is always sad, right? And instead of moving on, right? Like I don't owe anything necessarily. It doesn't impact my life in any way. I'm going to sort of like pause and allow myself to properly mourn the loss of human life. And it didn't have to disrupt my whole day or send me into like a spiral of grief or anything like that. But realizing that in that moment, and God was offering me the grace to properly react to the loss of that person's life the way he would, the way God would see that, whether that person had a relationship, what kind of relationship they had with him or anything, the way I didn't have a relationship with that person, how do I just, you know, respond to that and mourn the way God would mourn the loss of that life? And it's just a small thing. And I'm not saying that because, like, I think I'm so holy or I'm so saintly or anything like that. I mean, that was like my effort, right, guys? That took effort to even do that small thing. But it just became so clear to me that the more that you try to actually allow the Beatitudes into your life and actually try to pursue them, instead of this passive way of thinking that I had seen before, that is actually how saints live. I realized how much more attainable or how much more clear the sort of, again, God's vision of things, the path to holiness was when I thought about things in terms of the Beatitudes and not the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, 1,000%. I mean, there are people who don't believe in God who are mourning, and there's also a way to mourn that is like hopeless and defeated. And then there's a way to remember, like, blessed are those who mourn, and to say, look, there's something about a way of happiness. God is presenting a way of happiness here in this moment. So I'm not going to mourn in a hopeless way. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm just going to be a happy Christian who's never sad. I'm going to say, all right, God, I trust you that there's a way for me to find true joy, like actual divine happiness through my mourning. And so I'm going to allow myself to mourn, but not in a hopeless way, in like the world is ending, but like, I'm going to go through this mourning because I know that God has said, blessed are those who mourn. And I think that's hopefully what people can take away from this, is like helping people shift their perspective to God's vision, that there's a blessing in the way that we approach these things. And again, it's like what you said, like that can only come from grace. You just acknowledge it in the moment and then say, God, I just need grace to mourn in a way that is living out the Beatitudes.
Yes. I'm so glad you mentioned trust, because I think one of the reasons why maybe either as students in catechesis classes or even as catechists ourselves, the Beatitudes can maybe get skipped over, or not, you know, they might not sink in the way that we would want them to, or the way that we're hoping they will, from our conversation or from the videos that we created for this unit, is because they do seem totally paradoxical, right? They're like, how does this make any sense? They go against everything that our human nature would have us believe. And that's why they do require trust. They do require grace, because they are not of our human nature. They are of God, and they are God's way of seeing things. They are Jesus's way of living his life. And so even when it doesn't seem to make sense, and you think that, you know, maybe if I react in anger, that might feel better, or maybe if I just, you know, go on with my day without being distracted by this, like, then I'll be happier because I had a more productive day, or whatever it is. But you have to, what the Beatitudes require is a trust in God and a cooperation with the grace that he offers, that this is the only thing that will lead us to true and lasting happiness with him forever.
Yeah, 1,000%. I mean, so our job as evangelists and catechists, whether we're in a professional setting or even we're just parents or we're friends or coworkers of people that we're trying to share the faith, I mean, our job is to pass on all of the faith. And we have like the full summary of the deposit of faith in the catechism, and we have the Bible, that contains all of sacred scripture. And so we need to make sure that we're not just like glossing over parts of it, especially like the catechism says, this is central to Jesus' preaching. And so I hope that people listening to this would just be encouraged. And also remember, if you haven't listened to the episode previously with Julianne Stans, where she talks about like, people know if a doctrine just doesn't mean anything to you, or even if you're just kind of like passive about it, or like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Or even like, afraid of it. Yeah. If you don't understand it fully, or your heart's not in it, or if you're skeptical about it, the students will notice.
Right. Yeah. People know that. And so, you don't have to wait till you're an expert in scripture studies to have the teachings of the Beatitudes or the teachings of doctrine or something like this, the Beatitudes impact you. Like, you can go spend time and reflect on this, and it can change you. And it just takes that like awareness of these doctrines and spending time with it. So maybe we could go to some maybe practical, some practical tips for people who are thinking like, how would I incorporate the Beatitudes more into evangelization and catechesis or incorporate into their own lives or allow it to change them if they've been like, yeah, this has just been something I've glossed over and haven't spent enough time with. And one of the things I'll just share first is like, just, this sounds so dumb, but just printing them out and having them around the house was like, it just helped me become more aware throughout my day of them. And maybe in your classroom or in your parish or somewhere, just to have them up. Like we often see in classrooms and stuff the Ten Commandments, but not as often the Beatitudes. But in this third pillar of the catechism, the Beatitudes are actually like the commandments. Jesus elevates the commandments through the Beatitudes. He elevates life in Christ through the Beatitudes. So just that practical thing of like just printing them out and seeing them and being reminded of them was huge.
Yeah, I think that's so important, that keeping that constant reminder, because I think really only by trying to bring it into your daily life will it get all the way through to your heart. You know, we've said it's the heart of Jesus's preaching. The catechism says this, it's the heart of Jesus's preaching, because it's not just the most important words he said, but it reveals the heart that he has through which he lived his whole life. And everybody who met Jesus met that heart that we're talking about, that the Beatitudes are a revelation of. I would say another thing of like, once you start to become, you know, more familiar with it and more like, you know, start to try a little bit to incorporate it into your life, to not be intimidated by the language of the Beatitudes. I think while the language and the study of the very intentional like word choices is so important, I think one of the ways that they can be intimidating is like, if you don't know what meek means, if you don't know what like, if you can't think like, what does persecuted for righteousness' sake like look like in your own life, like don't skip over it, because the language isn't necessarily what you would use in your daily life. Instead, pray through that. Invite your classroom to have a conversation about what do you think this looks like in your life, so that you're going beyond just like the memorization of what they are, but first to sort of think, well, what does this look like in the times that I live in now, and then build from there back up to what those words would have meant to Jesus, or why the word choices are there in scripture.
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, it's almost like this whole unit is a great opportunity to just talk to people about following Jesus is about not avoiding the areas that are difficult or confusing or that we don't have understanding of, and just like lean into that, like find ways to find more understanding, or just sit with it until you're and like ask God, like, help me understand this. Another really good practical tip that came up as we were working on this was that the lives of the saints are ways for us to show examples of life in Christ to people that we're talking to or called to evangelize or catechize. So looking for the lives of the saints, when people are like, what would it look like to be meek? What would it look? Obviously, Jesus is the ultimate model.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But then like finding people in different ages of the church or more modern saints or people and showing like, what does it look like to do these things? What does it do to hunger and thirst for righteousness? What is it, or what does it mean or look like to be pure in heart, to, you know, all of these different things, to be poor in spirit, those types of things. So I think like the lives of the saints is a great practical way to make this really tangible for people and not just be vague, you know, abstract words.
Yeah, definitely. I think the last thing that I would want to say about it, again, as we in our project and as anyone moving through the catechism, is sort of looking at the Beatitudes and the commandments. And I think that this is coming up in the work that we'll be doing, that the commandments do, because they are an expression of natural law, they offer really great wisdom from the church, from God, on, you know, how to sort of like navigate matters of this world, right? So we're going to be getting into some units where the catechism has very direct teaching on certain things that we might encounter in society, you know, really areas that people might struggle with, areas that have been the topic of much debate, even in our time. And the church, through the commandments, gives us her wisdom on how to navigate and avoid those areas. But just living out the commandments is not what we're called to live. We are actually called through the Beatitudes to go and pursue, again, above that earthly level, above that worldly conversation, to how God sees the world. One of my favorite lines of all the work that we've done so far, like from the catechism that we've studied, is from this unit, which is that the Beatitude of Heaven sets the standards for discernment in the use of earthly goods in keeping with the law of God. And what I loved about that is that it sort of raises the bar, right? The Beatitudes set the standard. And the standard is not just the don'ts of the Ten Commandments, the clarity of the Ten Commandments, or even, you know, an expansion and fulfillment of those. It really sets the standard for discernment at God's level, at God's way of seeing things. And so, and that's what we're really called to. So I've been praying through that line a lot. I would invite you all to do the same, that the Beatitudes really are the standard for discernment that we're called to. And before we get any further in our teaching of a moral life in Christ here in Pillar 3, we have to really prayerfully reflect on that first.
Yeah, that's a powerful line to just end this episode on. You know, there's been times with people that I've said, you know, there's so many of us want to hear God's voice, but we haven't taken time to really become familiar with God's voice so we'd even recognize it. And I'm thinking of the same thing with this. If the Beatitudes set the standard, but I'm not familiar with the Beatitudes, how am I to discern things? How am I to discern how to use earthly goods or make decisions in my daily life if I'm not familiar with the standard? So I love that. Anything else you want to share, or should we wrap up this wonderful episode? I've really enjoyed this.
Let's wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. If you have any comments about what it's been like for you to teach the Beatitudes, anything that you've found helpful, or any questions that you have, definitely send them our way. We'll be happy to answer them on future podcast episodes or via email. We are so grateful for all the feedback that we get from the catechists who are listening to this podcast or using the videos. We learn so much from you, and we're so grateful to be sharing in this mission with you. That mission is to unlock the beauty and truth of the catechism and help people around the world encounter its pulsating heart, Jesus Christ. So visit realtrue.org to find more episodes of this podcast. I definitely agree with Edmund. If you haven't listened to it, go back to the episode right before this with Julianne Stand on the Ten Commandments. And you can also find all the videos that we've mentioned on this podcast there for your use for free.
Awesome. We'll see you guys in the next episode, and we read all the comments, so please send in your comments, and we look forward to seeing you in the next episode of the Real and True Podcast.
Does your community need help measuring the heart of your religious education? Are you wondering if your community provides a sense of belonging for members? NCEA Rise is a family of comprehensive assessments designed to measure what your community knows and feels about the faith. But it doesn't stop there. Results can be used for instructional planning, professional development, community engagement, and more. NCEA provides meaningful network and resource support for its members. Find out more at NCEARISE at www.ncearise.org.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.